Morning, it's Father Eli here at St. Joe's Our Lady of Fatima. Good to be with you today. Today is Saturday, and I just finished celebrating Mass for the daily Mass. So maybe you're aware there's a daily Mass Monday through Saturday. I haven't often celebrated a Saturday Mass here. Father George has often done the first Saturday Mass, but hasn't been my practice. Part of that is because a lot of times I have to go somewhere on Saturday morning to hear confessions, like at the diocese or some big event that is happening and they need priests. So I'm a little bit hesitant to commit myself to that, but it's been nice to have daily Saturday Mass. So maybe someday that will become a normal practice every Saturday that I'm available. So anyway, today we celebrated the evangelist, St. Mark. You may have noticed if you watch Mass, big mistake. I was supposed to wear red, not white. I've made that mistake before with the evangelists. It's just, I don't know why, but all the evangelists died as martyrs, so that's why they have red. And so there are four evangelists, as you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And just I thought today I'd spend a little bit of time just talking about the four Gospels. So, we know Matthew was the tax collector. He was an apostle. He wrote his Gospels probably to more kind of the Jewish crowd. He presents Jesus as the new Moses, so kind of completing the Old Testament and fulfilling all the prophecies and so forth. So Matthew writes, and his Gospel is the longest, and probably, I think Luke has the best Greek, if I remember right, and Mark, probably the most simple Greek, and Matthew, kind of in between there. So if you're reading the original Gospels, you might appreciate that, but most of us really don't notice that. You can kind of notice some of the stylistic things and so forth, but. So Matthew would be the longest, and next Matthew, Mark. Mark is the shortest. That's who we celebrated today. He was not an apostle; he was a disciple of Saint Paul and Barnabas, who themselves were apostles, called to be bishops, preachers of the word, and so forth. But not by Jesus himself, but later by the community. Jesus appeared to St. Paul, so in a sense he did call him to be an apostle, but not when he was alive here on earth. So St. Paul's a little unique in that way. And so the Gospel of Mark is influenced by Paul, but especially by St. Peter, because later he followed St. Peter around and was with him in Rome, probably when he was nearing the end of his life, and probably sharing some of the things, and maybe even asked St. Mark to write them down. So St. Mark is pretty interesting fellow himself. I think, if I remember right, he comes from a Gentile background, so he kind of has a little bit of that leg in both worlds. Then we have Luke. So Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke is also not an apostle, was a disciple of St. Paul, so a lot of his writings are influenced by St. Paul and his theology, his kind of message. St. Luke was a convert, didn't grow up Jewish, so he's a convert at a young age to Christianity. He therefore writes to the Gentile audience, so sometimes he explains the different Hebrew terms or things like that. You'll notice that in his text. He's also got some of the more unique parables and things like that that some of the others don't. And his gospel has kind of a part two, Acts of the Apostles. So we believe Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostles. So he has a kind of an interesting spread there. And you can see that he was kind of instrumental in that early church. So those are the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Those are what we call the Synoptic Gospels. And we call them that because they are similar. They're related it's kind of hard exactly to know. There's lots of theories of how they are related, but if you look at them, there's a lot of the same stories, a lot of the same kind of parallels. Many ways they are organized the same. So some people believe that Mark was written first and that there was another source that we don't have anymore that was lost, that kind of had the material that was in Matthew and Luke that's not in Mark. But it's kind of hard to tell which of those three Gospels came first. It could be any of them, really. There's a lot of scholarly work that will argue one way or the other, but I guess we don't have to get into that. But to suffice it to say, they are related, they're connected, they're called the Synoptic Gospels, and that's how we organize the liturgical years of A, B, and C. We go off of the Synoptic Gospels. So A is Matthew. That's the year we are in. B is Mark. That'll be next year. And C would be the following year. That is Luke. That's the one we just finished back in Advent. So the liturgical year always starts in Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, and continues on all the way around the year until we get back to Advent again. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, those are the Synoptic Gospels related, kind of similar stories and so forth. They each have their own unique little parts and so forth, but they are all connected in some way. Finally, we have the Gospel of John. So John was the only apostle who was not martyred, so he lived longer. Some say he might have lived to be 100 years old or older anyway. He was probably the youngest apostle of Jesus when he was walking here on earth, the beloved disciple is often called. So St. John's Gospel is probably the last gospel to be written. He is also the author of three letters, John 1, 2, and 3, and also the author of Revelation. So the Johannine texts, as we call them, are pretty extensive. His gospel is a little bit different than the other three. There are a few things that are similar. You know, they all have the bread of the feeding of 5,000. Of course, they have the passion, but he approaches it a little different. His probably most famous parts of John's gospel would be the Bread of Life discourse, which is found in chapter 6, where he talks about the Eucharist. This is one of the very clear places where Jesus is speaking and teaching about the gift of the Eucharist and how it's going to be the gift for the church, how we're supposed to eat his body and blood. So it's a very special text of the church, and we hold that as a dear text. He's the only one that talks about the washing of the feet at the Last Supper. He doesn't really actually use the institution narratives like the other three. We find that more in his John chapter 6 part. But in the Last Supper, the part that he focuses on is the washing of the feet. So that's unique to John. One of my favorite passages is the vine and the branches. This is part of his kind of farewell text at the Last Supper. After he washes his feet, he kind of goes into this long talk with his disciples. And one part of that is the vine and the branches. So St. John writes in a little bit more theological. People say it's the highest level of theological, which makes sense because if it's the longest after Jesus has died, the church has had a time to reflect, and John himself has had a time to reflect on everything. He's probably writing this at the end of his life, kind of looking back over everything and sort of seeing it with perhaps new eyes or eyes that are more focused on the little details and so forth. So John's gospel is unique in that way. So all of the gospels are important. All of them offer us different perspectives. They're written to different audiences. They're written at different times. So they're each unique in their own way, but they all help us to see who Jesus is. And that's why the church kind of reverences the gospels above all the other scriptures, because they talk specifically about Jesus and his life. That's why we have a special place for them at Mass. We stand when the Gospel is read. We use incense. We incense the book of the Gospel. We process in with the book of the Gospel. So we really try to emphasize that this is a really important piece of the Mass, reading the Gospel. So hopefully this was helpful. Probably things you've heard before. If not, little tidbits to kind of round out your understanding of the Gospels and what they are about. There's lots of things you can read to learn more about them, the commentaries and things like that. I've been reading Pope Benedict's Jesus of Nazareth series, just the one on Holy Week. There's a three-part series, one on the infancy narratives, which is actually the last one he wrote, one on his public ministry, which is the first one he wrote, and then the middle one that he wrote is on Holy Week, so the Passion and Death and Resurrection. So anyway, hope you have a good day, have a blessed weekend, and enjoy the beautiful weather. Take care. God bless.